Since 2003, the Alternative Technology Association's International Projects Group has installed thousands of solar power systems across East Timor. Now that the dry season has arrived in East Timor, they are continuing their work. To get an update on their activities, I'm speaking with their International Projects Manager, Kate Greenwood. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks, Des. It's good to be with you.
The ATA has been doing this work since 2003. Could you give us a brief background to your work and how it has unfolded over the years?
Yeah, sure. Actually, the work of the ATA in East Timor was really started by a small group of quite intrepid volunteers shortly after the war in East Timor, when the recovery effort was underway. And there was a small team of technical volunteers from the ATA who found their way over to East Timor and started to help with some of the early recovery efforts. And initially, they worked with some of the East Timor friendship groups based here in Australia, and also various other individuals who were in East Timor, such as nuns and priests who were trying to get power into their communities. And so some of these guys basically went over there on aeroplanes with all the gear and started installing systems, initially mainly community buildings, clinics and orphanages and some schools. And then over time, the program probably started to take more of a focus on household level. So they were aware, obviously, there was thousands and thousands of homes in rural areas which had no access to the electricity grid. And being a very mountainous country, there's many different areas which are many homes which are quite far from the grid lines. And as much as the government has expanded the national electricity grid over the years, we estimate there's still about 35% of homes have no access to the national grid. So in recent years, we've had more of a focus on providing household solar systems to provide basic lighting and USB charging so people can, in more recent times, charge their mobile phones. We've also had a very strong focus over the years in actually training up local solar technicians, so that there is actually people with skills in those local communities who can maintain and repair the systems. Back in 2010 and 11, we also were lucky to receive a grant from the Australian government to work with an East Timorese training institute based just outside of Dili. And the ATA worked with that training institute to develop the first ever solar PV curriculum to be taught in East Timor. And that's actually still taught today, so it goes up to a Certificate 2 level in installation and maintenance. And so the ATA actually trained up the first ever team of solar trainers in East Timor, and we still work with that same team now. And then back in 2014-15, we were lucky enough again to receive a grant from Google, which enabled us to really scale up our village lighting scheme, which is our household lighting scheme, and to make some improvements to our actual solar system, which we have custom designed to make it even more durable and to add in some some new features, and also enabled us to expand our partnerships in East Timor so that we're working more now with local partners to ensure we use that local expertise and try to implement through local partners who will form the basis of a longer-term future in East Timor.
So what sort of partner organisations are they? Sort of community-based organisations or not NGOs or semi-government bodies?
We work with two main partners. So one is the Technical Training Institute that I mentioned earlier, the Vocational Institute. And so they are our technical partners. So they actually do the training of local technicians in the villages where we're installing. And they work with those local technicians to install the systems. And they provide ongoing backup support if there's more complicated repairs needed over time. And we also now work with a community engagement partner, which is a smaller NGO. And they had a lot of experience working in East Timor on water and sanitation projects. So they have had a long experience kind of working with communities to mobilize the community and explain the model of community ownership and management, which is so central to our scheme, because our system, our program isn't a handout. So we don't just sort of go in and install systems. We actually make sure that the community is really, you know, on board, and that they form a management committee, and that committee actually collects money from the household who receive the system, so that they actually pay a little bit of money up front to have their system installed, and they pay a little bit of money each month into a maintenance fund, so that the community together is saving money for the future to pay their local technicians and also to pay for maintenance and spare parts. And we find that this way the community feels a really strong sense of ownership over the scheme, and they're all, you know, committed together to, you know, to the long-term sustainability of it. So that's kind of the central feature of the program, which is so important to its long-term success. So the other partner organisations, they do more of what I call that soft skills, you know, training and work with the community to ensure that all the conditions are right for the scheme to be sustainable.
So what sort of evolution has taken place in terms of the skills base of the local technicians, in terms of numbers and in terms of the scope of the skills, in terms of being able to upskill themselves to do complicated tasks?
So the local technicians in the villages, you know, they receive, you know, a fairly, you know, basic training. It's a few days, really. Initially, they're usually people in the village who've done, you know, some you know, basic sort of manual labour, and they're, you know, keen for, you know, for new skills. And so, you know, they're provided with about 3 or 4 days of you know, of intensive training, just explaining the basis of how solar energy, you know, how it works. And, you know, using the tools that they're provided with, such as, you know, using the multimeter and how to actually install, you know, the system. And then there's also the opportunity with our new systems have actually got inbuilt data loggers, which you can access through using a kind of a Wi-Fi and a smart device. You can actually download technical performance data from the system onto a phone. So each of the technicians are now shown how to do that process, so they can actually try to sort of monitor over time how the systems have performed, for example, over the wet season. And they can see, for example, if the, you know, the household, you know, is using the USB, you know, charging, or how the battery is sort of, you know, recovering after, you know, cloudy weather. And so we're trying to, over time, see that as the aspect where we're sort of upskilling in terms of, you know, being able to actually understand more about how the system itself performs. And many of those people who are trained, and there's been about 180 trained over the years, they also do, it's not their only job, you know, they do other jobs in their communities, and they use this as a way to, you know, gain new skills so they can have, you know, other jobs and opportunities in their communities as well. And some also, of course, you know, we hope that they will stay in their communities longer term, but of course some, you know, once they receive new skills as well, you know, go off for, you know, for more training, in which case, you know, then you know, sometimes we've you know, retrained new people in the community as well. Yeah, so it's about having, you know, that local capacity where it's needed. And then of course there will be some, you know, issues that will come up sometimes with technology where it's a bit more complicated, and so they always have the backup support of our partner organisation, our technical partner organisation, who can work with them if it's something that they can't, you know, fix at the local level, in which case they'll be able to engage with the partner who's based outside Dili to then, you know, learn more skills as well as you know, potentially more complex issues, you know, arise over time.
Sounds like the training and the skills being applied there are much higher than perhaps what lay people have here in Australia. And because they're starting from the ground up with energy technologies, they don't have to worry about ripping out old stuff. They're just putting in the new stuff.
They're putting in new stuff, exactly. You know, that's very true. And you know, it's also, I mean, having been there myself as well, it's a very practical, hands-on culture, because it, you know, it has to be, because usually people don't have money in the community to pay other people to do, you know, jobs and work for them. So you'll find that people actually are already very, very competent at doing lots of, you know, of handy work, and it's nothing for someone to, you know, scramble up onto the roof and, you know, attach something, or, you know, fix something, or immediately just build some kind of, you know, mounting device outside the house to, you know, put the solar panel on or something. They tend to be very, very well versed in all of this type of work, because out of necessity, you know, you have to do so much yourself.
Over time, what has been the growth in geographic spread of this technology?
We'd worked primarily in a couple of different districts where we had partnerships with some of these East Timor friendship groups who we work with. But the one of the great things about the Google grant was it enabled us to be able to sort of in some ways go further afield and actually look for, you know, the some districts where they were, you know, more remote and where we didn't maybe have an initial relationship with that community, but it gave us that opportunity to actually go and do more scoping and actually work more with the government in East Timor, because there is a renewable energy department in East Timor, to kind of coordinate with them and find out what their plans were and, you know, where they felt that the priority areas were going to be that were never going to be connected to the grid. And so we were able to do a much more kind of thorough process of looking at from a really needs-based approach and going further afield into more remote areas. So we expanded that into three new districts last year. And this year, we've focused our efforts on one particular sub-district in Baucau called Kelikai, where there's at least 1,000, you know, homes who have no access to electricity. And we've selected the first couple of villages that we will target in Kelikai based on the fact that there are schools in those communities. And so we have our plan for 2017 for, you know, the three villages in Kelikai where we will install systems and train people this year. And then obviously we will, you know, keep going in future years.